Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Nashville Predators, New York Rangers tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll get into that a little bit this hour. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Spicy conversation.
Yeah, can we add one number on Tavondre Sweat being easily a stand-up double with a chance to grow when you're looking for Rand. And I will say this, Rand Carthon's batting average needs to get higher. I am the first to say that, and I've said it all year long. But the caller suggested or asked, does he even have a single double? I definitely think J.C. Latham is easily a double. No doubt in my mind that Tavondre Sweat is a double. And don't take my word for it. D-Mace just pulled up the Pro Football Focus grades, which overall is a 76, is that right?
Yeah, he's rated at a 76. And again,
and 70 is considered a starter in the league, right? So this is a rookie, second-round pick, not first-round pick, that is easily a starter in the league, has shown the ability to make big plays, brings a lot to the table with major strengths. Jared is going to work on the week. If he did have five or six sacks, that would be a home run. We're not arguing he's a home run. Mm-hmm. To me, sacks are secondary to what his job is as a space-eating defensive lineman. He is a potential game changer, but if nothing else, you've got a starter who's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, and
that's a hit.
And
a double.
And that's what I believe Tavondre Sweat is. Listen, you could take the PFF grades for whatever you want, whatever you choose to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. If you believe in it, then great. If you don't, then, you know, whatever. But whatever sort of metrics you believe in or site you believe in that measures, you know, the performances of players, go take those few sites and compare them to one another. And I'm sure that all of them will be close to one another in regards to how they grade individuals, more specifically in this one, Tavondre Sweat. Sacks don't mean everything, especially when you're talking about a guy that they honed in on and they knew, hey, listen, we are drafting him not to be a sack getter, but we're drafting him to add on to a defense. We're drafting another good player, we believe in our mind, a guy that on a lot of people's boards, had his weight had not been an issue, he more than likely would have been a first-round draft pick, okay? You're talking about a former Outland Trophy winner at Texas, so he proved that he was a damn good player in college, and he's proven it again. Just watch the guy. If you don't want to take my word for it or PFF words for it, go watch the film. Is he getting the sacks like Jared said? No. He has 2 sacks in the last 4 games. So, obviously, now he's starting to figure some things out. Once again, I said, this big fella, once he figures out how the game is played from his position, once he truly learns that with his ability to push the pocket backwards and the guy is nimble on his feet, he's going to be a much better player in year 2 than he was in year 1. We saw the jump for Jeffrey Simmons from year 1 to year 2. And albeit I know Jeffrey was a first-round pick, but we still saw the jump from year 1 to year 2. I believe we will see that same drop because he's showing traits. Tavondre Sweat is. He's showing traits that he's figuring it out. Watch the last couple of games. He's figuring it out. That next season, to me, should be a jump for him.
Quickly, before we get to our topic, I've seen this multiple times on the text line. And, Derek, we talked about this before the show yesterday. There was a graphic at one point during the game. They were isolating Trey Hendrickson and J.C. Latham. And if I recall correctly, the graphic said that J.C. Latham had allowed more sacks than any left tackle in the league. And I believe the number was like 13.
That was wrong.
Or
he's
something
only given
like
up
that.
Six sacks.
But I don't. But my response to you was everybody tracks these things a little bit differently. So the way that PFF may assign, well, J.C. Latham was responsible for this sack, which I don't know what Fox was using for. It was Fox the other day, right?
Yes,
I don't know what Fox was using, but maybe they use another service where J.C. Latham has been given more sacks again.
Well, for me,
people are looking at that number.
No, but
and
it's
saying, how can we say J.C. Latham is a double?
We're not arguing he's a home run. He's a double.
But no, that number is completely wrong. Listen, it's hard to figure out. Like for a tackle, I think it's easy to figure out a sack he's giving up, a sack he's not, because usually tackles are on an island by themselves. They're on, especially left tackles, they're on an island alone. So usually when they mess up, it's glaring. Okay, he's not playing the interior where it's a little bit more ambiguous on who really gave up the sack and who didn't, because you saw some twist. How were they supposed to block? The tackle is much easier to figure out. When I looked on two or three, he's only given up six sacks. He didn't give up a sack last game. Was it almost a sack? Yeah, because he held him and to negate the sack. But he's only given up six sacks. So I don't know. I think they were talking more so of the false starts, because he has like 13 false starts. I think that's
he's got seven false starts.
That's what that metric was supposed to be, I believe. The penalties and not necessarily the sacks.
But let's keep this in mind. Troy Aikman said this last night in the context of the Bears, that the sacks are on the quarterbacks. He said this and emphasized it. If a quarterback doesn't want to get sacked, he won't get sacked. You get rid of the ball. There are quarterbacks that get sacked because they hold the ball. So that is a part of the reason. So it's not all on J.C. Latham. Remember this, too, about Latham. He's 21 years old. I see him as a prospect. If I'm a scout, I'm watching him play week in and week out on a bad team, playing against the best players, the edge rushers on the other teams. I think there is enormous growth that's going to happen. He's a double right now. They've plugged him into left tackle. I think he is a success story, and I think he can turn into a home run before it's over. I love his makeup. He does the work. He's going to get better. So he's a double right now, and that's a no-brainer, even with the mistakes that he does make on a bad team. But if you're just going to look at how many sacks a guy gives up, who is the quarterback? He gets sacked more than anybody because he holds the ball. That makes it a lot tougher on the offensive line.
Again,
listen to Troy Aikman
I'm watching. I'm looking at PFF, and again, go look at another site, and I'm going to pull up another site. But he's giving up six sacks allowed thus far in the 2024 season. Six. I'm going to repeat this again.
Six out of a gazillion times they've been sacked.
He's taken over 900 snaps, okay? He's given up six sacks. I'm going to say it again. He's given up six sacks. Let me say it one more time. He's given up six sacks, okay, and over 850 snaps, closer to 900 snaps, okay? To me, I don't know where they got that 13 from. Again, I will go look on other sites as I have before, but I don't understand where did they get that stat of him giving up 13 sacks. Now, Nicholas, he's giving up 10 sacks or 11 sacks somewhere around there, but that's not J.C. Latham.
Right. I will also say this, because I'm evaluating Rand's draft last year as his first real draft. Another big criticism is Skoronski. In fairness to Skoronski, if you take a look at the grades, this is the grades. Skoronski, you looked at him yesterday, D-Mace. Skoronski is improving in year two, especially in the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. So these guys aren't finished products yet. Skoronski's still very young.
Yeah.
So these are, again, not home runs, but these are hits that I think have a chance to get better, and it's really going to be defined on how much better they get
in the next two or three years.
Not what they are right now.
Skoronski, he does have some glaring limitations, so I don't know how much better he's going to get, but I think he can be a situation where he can be a solid starter.
But he's not Isaiah Wilson.
No.
He's not Isaiah Wilson, who is a strikeout.
Yeah,
that is a zero. He's way, way beyond that. He is a starter in the league.
Adam
and not a finished product.
Adam from Portland is on our phone line. Adam from Portland is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyMonday.com.
Adam,
I'm sure, can put us in the direction of the conversation we were trying to have based on what it says on the call screener. Adam, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is my problem, man, is that when you look at the body of work from where Rand is right now and where J-Rob was when...
Did we lose Adam?
Yep, because Adam was about to say something about... You know, J-Rob, and they're not in the same space. Well, J-Rob.
Adam, call back.
Here's the difference with, and listen, for the years that J-Rob was here, he did a good job. Did he have his you know, shortcomings? Yes, he did as a GM. Many GMs do. It doesn't matter.
But let's just set the stage.
Yeah.
Let's set the stage for what I want to talk about.
Okay.
We'll do that as well. So John Robinson is interviewing for the New York Jets general manager opening. Mm-hmm. The report over the weekend from Adam Schefter was John Robinson and Lewis Riddick were among the candidates for the job. I believe Thomas Dimitrov, the ex-Atlanta Falcons GM, has interviewed. I believe the Jets put that out there yesterday. Mm-hmm. So there have already been some interviews. We've talked about John Robinson. We're going to continue to talk about John Robinson. We've talked about GMs in the NFL. Not very few get those second chances. So what I want to talk about, we'll do a little bit here, then we'll have to go to break, is John Robinson in that interview. I'm very fascinated by how that interview would go, because John Robinson is going to be asked, hey, what went wrong in Tennessee? Because when you interview for a new job, you're always asked about your old job. So what went wrong in Tennessee, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the record since he left has been abysmal. I believe the Panthers are the only team in the league that has won fewer games since the Titans fired John Robinson about 2 years ago. So part of him can say, hey, it wasn't all of my mess. Look how bad this team has been since I left. But we have talked many times about Robinson's shortcomings. So let's sort of do a mock interview here. We can start it now and we'll continue it on the other side. You are interviewing John Robinson and you're asking him about the draft record. You're asking him about the trade of AJ Brown. Where are you going with that? When you're looking at, if you're the New York Jets and you want, and you're seriously interested in John Robinson as your GM, and you have the opportunity to ask that first question, what's that first question?
Oh, wow. Why did the roster end up looking the way it did? Why did the bottom half of your roster end up looking the way it did? Because, obviously, you were there for 5 years. And when you inherited that job in Tennessee, you had some foundational players, and you end up drafting what I believe is a first ballot Hall of Famer in Derrick Henry. You draft Derrick Henry, and you go out and you make the move to go get Ryan Tannehill. Those are great moves that you can walk in there and say, this is what I did. But if I'm a GM, I don't care so much about what your hitch was, because if I'm on, I'm like, hell, just about any GM would have probably drafted, you know, in the second round if they had a chance to over again. They would draft Derrick Henry, and they would go get Ryan Tannehill. Those are your hits. What happened with the misses? That's what I want to know. And that's hard to explain. I don't think he can explain his way out of the misses. He has to try to talk around his misses. And what I've said the day it happened, I said this was probably the best thing for John Robinson to get fired in the middle of the season, because now he washes his hands. Theoretically, he washes his hands of anything beyond that, even though in his mind he probably knew, man, whoo, if I don't get fired now, I may get fired next year if this roster doesn't prove and improve quickly. There's a reason why he was so emotional after losing to the Cincinnati Bengals and subsequently getting interviewed at the combine. There was a reason why he was emotional, because he understood that was his one shot at getting to a Super Bowl, because he knew the bottom of this roster, eventually it was going to catch up with them. Eventually.
Right. If I'm John Robinson and you ask me that question, I'm going to try and pivot away
but it's hard to
from
do
how it.
It
ended, and I'm going to look at my overall grade.
Yeah.
And you have to give him credit. He did a very good job of inheriting a team that, and I think this is an important subtle point that you got to look close. They had stunk for 2 years. So they had the second pick in the draft, and then the year before he got there. And then they had the first pick in the draft. So he already had a few pieces to work around. He had the quarterback in Mariota. And no, he wasn't a great quarterback, but he wasn't bad. So you had that. You had Taylor Lewan, a pretty good left tackle already in place. You had Jarrell Casey. You had Delanie Walker. You had a few pieces that I would argue are more pieces than Rand Carthon had going into this year. He also inherited the first pick in the draft that you could then do some things, and he successfully wielded that into some good players, including Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Right? That's what I would be emphasizing.
Yeah,
I took a team that
stay.
Had been bad, like you guys are now, Jets, and I made some smart moves, and I got my team going, and we had a good run. And I did it without a franchise quarterback. John Robinson, overall, grades very well, and the Jets would probably be smart to hire him.
But
the last 3 years, he drafted poorly, and that was going to lead to problems for the Titans.
And if I'm an owner, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I see your hit. I understand that. You did a great job at capitalizing when you had the number one pick, trading out of it, building your team. I saw that. You were able to do it in that draft. What happened after that? Why was your team so bad after that in regards to drafting? If I'm an owner, that's what I'm really grilling him on that, because I don't want those same mistakes to happen with my franchise.
615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on John Robinson being in the mix for the New York Jets GM job? We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
Hang all the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better.
D-Base Vinkin' and Donick.
It's Christmas.
Karaoke here at Barrel House. Have they ever done karaoke at Barrel House? I feel like it would be a good activity here at Barrel House.
I feel like that has a ring to it. Yes. Karaoke at Barrel House.
Yes. Featuring Derek Mason. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at Barrel House. We are doing karaoke, but we're also doing a radio show. Talking about John Robinson interviewing for the job with the New York Jets, according to reports. Now, I believe the only confirmed interview they've done is with Thomas Dimitroff, the ex-Atlanta Falcons general manager. I'm checking the Jets' Twitter right now to make sure that they haven't interviewed anybody else. I do like and how
Riddick from ESPN, am I hearing? Did I hear he might be in?
He was in the report that came out over the weekend, but the Jets have confirmed. They confirmed yesterday that they interviewed Thomas Dimitroff. So they have not confirmed that they've completed an interview with John Robinson or Lewis Riddick.
That's for the Jets, right?
That's for the Jets. Okay. That's all for the Jets. Adam in Portland texted us because he did drop the call.
Sorry, Adam.
He said, hey, my bad, guys. What I was going to say was that it was headed in the wrong direction already when John Robinson was fired. I think he deserves another shot somewhere because he did a lot of good things here, but he also missed on a ton of picks and was to blame entirely for trading our second best player and our team's attitude for an underperforming asthmatic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Who has caught like six balls since he's been drafted. Of course, referring to Treylon Burks. The problem is that Amy had no plan after J-Rob. She went with the popular name, and I'm afraid he doesn't have a real plan. Feels like he's
but
doing.
Where is that narrative coming from?
Yeah,
he doesn't have a plan, really?
I don't.
He doesn't have a real
listen,
plan.
Adam.
Yes.
We do thank you for calling. And
oh, that Adam, not me. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that Adam.
Okay.
Yes. No, we love you too, Adam.
I would hope so.
But I mean, again, and Adam, he faithfully, listens to the show hours. I'm sure the one before hours or ones, and the one after hours. And Jared. So, but again, this narrative of they hired someone who doesn't know what he's doing. I'm having a hard time sort of prescribing to that, because if you point to one or two guys, I can point to one or two guys that John Robinson didn't hit on. Does that make him qualified or not qualified to be a GM somewhere else? Because aren't we talking about the organization that Johnson owned that we say he's an incompetent owner? Do Jet fans trust that their owner's going to pick the right person? Because he hasn't picked the right person the last couple of times. So when he's interviewing someone, how are you taking that if you feel he's a bad owner? Or do you think he's hiring the best guys? But to Adam's point, I do believe John Robinson deserves another shot because him, like other GMs, he's had his hits and he's had his misses. He can say and walk in and say, hey, listen, like Willie said, this is how I helped build a team. It didn't work out the latter parts of the last year or two of my regime, but this is how I systematically or slowly built up a team. And we were in the AFC Championship game after year two. We had the number one seed after year two, but was after year three. But then after that, we sort of fell off the cliff. But I will hold on to the things that I did right. He deserves another shot. Why isn't we talking about Rand in that same breath? Like, listen, he inherited a bad team. Does he need more hits? Yes. He needs the ultimate hit. He needs a quarterback. That was the ultimate hit for John Robinson that I think they rolled the dice and they right. rolled sevens with Ryan Tannehill. So he got his guy.
He had a decent quarterback.
Exactly.
But was able to be smart enough to pass on doubling down mm-hmm. on a Marcus Mariota that was flawed. He could only get him a certain way. And then he hit it big. That should be at the top of his resume.
Yes.
I found a quarterback for a team that otherwise would have really struggled, mm-hmm. but I elevated. I got us pretty close to a Super Bowl without having a brilliant elite quarterback.
Exactly.
So it's not easy to do.
You can lean on that. So to me, it's can this organization, regardless if they choose to retain Rand Carthon and Brinker or if they choose to move on, can the current or the next GM/whoever else find the quarterback? Because until the Titans find the quarterback, they're going to continue to be sort of teetering with being a really bad team and being an okay team. You don't want to be an okay team. You want to be above that. And the only way you can get to that point, there's two ways. Either you have a stacked roster and you have a capable quarterback or a competent quarterback, or you have that guy underneath center and you have a roster that you can build around him.
One texter, David in Arkansas, on our text line says, if J-Rob turns around the Jets organization, then that's a big if. There's a lot going on up there. Then that will show how big of a mistake Amy made by firing him. I don't think some fans would ever forgive her for firing a winning GM for this debacle we are in right now. We have gotten worse ever since he was fired. J-Rob took a 2-3 win team and went 9-7. Rand has 9 wins in 2 seasons.
But this is, again, the point I would make at the beginning. When he took over, they had already been bad for 2 years. They had spun out of control. They were a bad team. So they had Mariota before he got there. Mm-hmm. So that was – and say what you will about Mariota, but on a bad team, there was one thing he could do that could keep you sort of in games, even if he wasn't doing everything right. He could run his way out of trouble. Mm-hmm. So he had already had a year under his belt. It was coming in for a second year. He had that established. He had the left tackle, mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan, who was immature, all the issues he may have had his first couple
but
years.
But he was a good player.
But he was a good player, yes. That you weren't looking around going, oh, I got to replace this left tackle. Where do I go get the left tackle? He had that. He had a couple other pieces. Delanie Walker, Jarrell Casey, leaders who could help, right? So he didn't have a stacked team. Obviously, they were awful. But he inherited the first pick. Mm-hmm. So he could go to work, and he did, to his credit. He did a great job of then – you got it. You got Jack Coughlin. Now you got 2 tackles. He traded the first pick. You got extra picks. You got Derrick Henry. Then he goes the next year. He gets Corey Davis. He did a very good job of building, but he was in a better place to start the build than Rand Carthon, who was coming in right at the end of a team that had been
the roster
aging.
Was depleted.
Yes, it was depleted, and you had 3 empty drafts. You had no good young players to lean on at all.
He did the opposite. He did the opposite of what David Poyo did, basically. John and
right.
Because he got
ran
fired.
Into the ground,
yeah, exactly.
And he got out before it got
and
bad.
And he got what? Well, they fired him before he got bad, which turned out to be a plus for
right.
him.
So now he can go
exactly.
to them and say, I have won 61% of my games.
Absolutely. So David Poyo steps down. He leaves the team in great hands for Barry. Maybe not in great hands, but they're in good standards.
Yes.
They're good. And he hands it to Barry. And Barry does what he do. Well, when Rand comes in, he said, hey, give me everything that you got. He holding his hands out like he about to get a whole load, and they give him two things. He like, oh, only two? Only? This is Derrick Henry and someone? Oh, okay, all right. I guess we got to roll with this. That's the difference.
A gently used Kevin Byard.
You know. Yeah, so it's like you got Derrick Henry, you got Kevin Byard. That was the two guys I was saying. Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. Then you throw Simmons in there. You got to throw Simmons in there. As much as people may dislike him because of his lack of leadership at times.
It's like when you buy something on eBay, and it's like, I think it's gently used, well loved. Well loved is the way that people say it. It's like
well worn.
That means it's used. You had a well loved.
That's
Kevin
a nice
Byard.
Way to say it was used.
Yes, a well-loved Kevin Byard.
Yeah, so I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying here is this. If Rand Carthon doesn't get this situation straightened out this offseason, we head into the season and it looks just like this again, then you got to go. Got to go. We're not sitting around here waiting. Just like I said for the quarterback. If he doesn't show you this season that he's the guy, you got to move on. You can still have him on your roster, but you got to move on. Same with Rand Carthon. I think this offseason, which means he would have had two full offseasons, if he can't get this team straight back to something that the fan base can be proud of and look forward to watching on a Sunday, if he can't get this roster back to that, then yes, just maybe it's time to turn the page and move on to somebody else.
Owen is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Owen, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just my personal opinion, I think we should just clear the entire house. You have all these points. You're right. Rand Carthon's coming in with nothing. You're talking about how Brian Callahan was a pretty good play caller earlier. He doesn't have a lot to work with. But I think it all boils down to it seems like a lot of the fan base is against him. That's who's paying your ticket salary. That's who's paying your salary. And that's how you're getting players. So I don't think if the fan base is with them, you can't keep these guys on. So I think just an entire clear house may be the next move for the Titans.
So if they stink next year, would you fire the guy after next year too if it doesn't go well because the fans are against them? They're going to be bad next year. Let's be
they
honest.
They are going to be that bad next year.
Yeah,
but I think just starting a whole new regime, I think Rand Carthon's done what he's going to do here with his time in Nashville.
All of his time in Nashville, 2 years.
A year and a half, really.
Yes, I completely think 2 years is enough to start
two
seeing
years
something,
is enough. Okay.
And we have not
convinced you.
Thank you, Owen. That's
I
a bummer.
I mean, listen, on and for what it's worth, there are people that think like Owen. Like, listen,
I think there are a lot of people who call into this station.
Yeah, they think like Owen.
Certainly
it's
think
like
Owen.
You know,
he's not alone.
And maybe because you know what you're seeing on the field and what you're hearing. Throughout, you know, this radio station, maybe some people, you know, have their minds made up and they're choosing to, you know, to go another route. But here's the question, okay, because not just, you know, people think that Rand isn't competent or Brinkert isn't competent. This is what they're saying. They're not real football people, in quotations. But then they don't trust the owner to make the right decisions. So you want the owner who you don't believe in, who you vehemently said you don't believe in, you don't think she knows what she's doing, she needs to stop meddling, all of this stuff. So you want her to go out and pick your next GM and your next head coach when you don't believe in her anyway? So you want that to happen? Or instead, let this process sort of play out. Give them the necessary time to try to rebuild a roster that was depleted. Again, what I hear a lot of times is not only do y'all not trust Rand Carthon and Brinker, y'all don't trust the owner. But y'all, that owner that you don't trust, you still want her to fire the guys that y'all don't trust, and then for her to go out and hire new guys, even though y'all don't trust her. Make that make sense to me. Please make it make sense to me, Jared or anybody else. Please make that make sense to me, because what I hear is from Jared and other people, they don't trust Miss Amy. They think she's incompetent. They think she needs to stop meddling. Well, if she needs to stop meddling and she's so incompetent, why do you trust her to pick anybody moving forward?
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up this conversation and look ahead to tonight's matchup here at Bridgestone Arena between the Nashville Predators and the New York Rangers. As I've said many times, an incredibly fascinating hockey game here tonight, and I'll explain why. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game, live at Bridgestone Arena. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport will fill in for Jared today, coming up at 2 o'clock. So a Tuesday edition, an extended edition of Jake and TD coming up next. Also, programming note, Barry Trotz will join Jared on Thursday. So no Barry Trotz interview today. Jared is off the air today. So Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock on Thursday instead of 5 o'clock today. And we're going to get more into the Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan, Will Levis. We're going to continue this conversation all week long and for many more weeks, I'm sure. But the Predators play tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. Of course, that's why we're here. Predators, Rangers, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. An incredibly fascinating hockey game. I will be in attendance tonight. I made sure that I was going to be here to watch this game. An incredibly fascinating game. We know the issues that the Predators are having. They're well documented. The Rangers they're in a rough spot too. They have lost 10 of their past 13 games, all in regulation. This is the team that won the President's Trophy last year. They've been to the Eastern Conference Final two of the past three seasons, but it's just a mess. And I actually did get a bit of a chuckle when I saw on social media from Rangers reporters that are here that I know that Peter Laviolette, who of course now coaches the Rangers, was asked about his job security. And I had to text Robbie Stanley and Jim Diamond and Joe Rexroad and tell them, it wasn't me this time. Because that was me in late 2019, early 2020, constantly asking Peter Laviolette if he was worried about his job security. So it wasn't me this time. I was on the air. But that's just how it's been going with the Rangers. We saw about a week and a half ago, Willie, they made a big trade. They traded their captain, Jacob Trouba. They had been trying to trade him, but it got bitter. They threatened.
It didn't go over very well in the locker room.
No, it did not. And they threatened to put him on waivers. He had a partial no-trade clause, which does not protect him from waivers. But the Rangers said, if you do not accept a trade to where we are going to send you, we will waive you. And then we'll just let the waiver order decide where you go. And it may be a place that you have on your no-trade list. So it did not go over in the dressing room well. They actually won their game that day against the Penguins, and then they followed up by losing two home games to Seattle and Chicago. It's really not going well in New York. So there is a lot of pressure on both of these teams tonight. I imagine both teams, it might be, I just feel like there's going to be some tension on the ice tonight because, well, both teams are in precarious situations.
Somewhere in here, somebody's going to feel better about the direction that they're going after tonight, one way or the other. The difference, of course, is the Rangers did start 12-4-1. So they had the cushion built up, unlike the Predators, who have been trying to dig out of a hole and haven't been able to do it. So I almost think, if you really look close, it's a little different. The Predators, I feel like the tension has dropped a little, only because it's kind of like, well,
we are where we are.
We are where, yeah, we are, and we got to win a couple games here. Like, it's, whereas the Rangers are right in the eye of the storm.
Yes.
Right. It's like they're really feeling the heat right now of where do we go, what do we do, because they can still, you know, they turn it around, they win 4 out of 6.
you know, they'll feel better about where they're going, and they're still right on the edge of the playoffs. But I think right now they appear to be, from what you read, a team with some veterans that aren't real happy with how it's gone. And this leads to the questions. It is an interesting question, though, just like we talk about here. The coach is in his second year, just like Andrew Burnett's in his second year. So when you start talking about, we'll just fire the coach, it goes with Rand Carthon.
I want to interrupt this just for 1 second from Jeremy Fowler. The Tennessee Titans are planning to make a switch at quarterback this week, source told ESPN. Mason Rudolph is the logical candidate to step in for starter Will Levis. I mean,
the other candidate would be Jeffrey Simmons,
who likely heads to the bench barring surprise. So according to Jeremy Fowler, the Titans are planning to make a switch at quarterback. Not that we're surprised, but just wanted to pass
that
along.
If you really listened to the press conference yesterday, you knew where he wanted to go.
Yes.
So that does not surprise
me. We'll talk about more of that as well tomorrow.
Andrew Burnett, Jack Adams nominee. Peter Laviolette, President's Trophy. Both in their first years. Right now it's not going well. This pertains to our discussion with the Titans. You really want to pull the trigger on a guy in the second year? I just think that's knee-jerk. I don't like that philosophically. And give me credit, I'm consistent.
Yes.
Pick a year, pick a team, pick a sport. I don't philosophically think that is a good look. You've got to ride out the storm. If a guy's in his third or fourth year, that's a different story. And Peter Laviolette is the ultimate. Give you a jolt, 3 or 4 good seasons, in his case in Nashville, a little bit more than that. And then he seems to dive and get somewhere else and do the same cycle. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, I think, when it's all over. So in the second year, this is a really interesting one because it's New York, right, and because of the scrutiny that's on him.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Rangers, as you said, they have an interesting mix. You know, a lot, you know, just how great they were a year ago. They got the Peter Laviolette bump. They won 55 games, I believe it was, won the President's Trophy. Usually,
and lost to the better team. In the playoffs. Florida's a really, really good team.
Yes, they are. And it seems like what we're seeing right now from the Rangers is typically what happens to Peter Laviolette in his third year or his fourth year. Usually the second year, midway through the second year, you're not having the situation. But, you know, the Predators, I feel like, Willie, these past few games, the win at Dallas and the loss at Colorado, I've seen a team, emphasis on seen, that seems to be making some progress. Things seem more fluid on the ice than they have been for much of the season. But as we all know, it comes down to scoring goals. They did so against the Stars. I thought they had many opportunities against the Avalanche to do so. As you said to me yesterday, first half of the game, the Predators could have had a lead in that game. It didn't happen. The Avalanche scored the first few goals, and the Predators tried to make a comeback. It didn't work. But, you know, at this stage of the season, as I said, Barry Trotz, Thursday, not today, Thursday at 5 o'clock, Eric, he said a couple of weeks ago he was going to give this team until Christmas. To see what it's all about. And we've got 4 games left until Christmas. They're all at home. They're playing some tough competition. I mean, the Rangers have been struggling, but we have seen that they can be a good team. The LA Kings are a good team.
And playing well.
The Hurricanes are a good team.
They're a really good team.
So they are going to be playing some tough teams over the next 4 games at home. So this starts what could be the season-defining stretch for Barry Trotz.
Willie, I want to ask you something quickly. Since the injury to Roman Josi, has this team changed? And I know it's been, 2 or 3 games, but have you seen sort of a change in play in this team for the better or for the worse?
I think they've done a pretty good job defensively without Roman Josi in there. When you lose a player like that is a huge player to try to compensate for. I think they've done about the best you could hope. I thought it's a tale of 2 games. He's missed 2.
Yep.
It really 2 2/3. They collapsed without Josi in there against the Flames, a team that they really should have beaten. But they had a period where they couldn't get it right, and a lot of it was not having him in there. The other guys didn't rally enough. Dallas, those guys really did step up. Adam Willsby,
and, you know, the guys that are coming in, Nick Blankenberg and Kevin Gravel even, they did a great job against a very tough team in Dallas. And then in the Avalanche, a couple of those guys made some rookie mistakes, and it cost them. But I do see what Adam is referring to, though, as far as what looks better. The four lines do look like they're starting to coagulate a little bit. They look like they're getting a little bit of traction. But this is what I'm hoping is, like, when that wave comes in and there's adversity, because it's so demoralizing to have a game that was so good on Thursday. Then you go Saturday, the same kind of things happen. They're playing good. They're playing well. They're getting chances. Nothing's going in. And it re-aggravates all those wounds. Like, oh, we can't score. Why won't the puck go in? What's going on? They've got to fight through that. So when that wave comes in of adversity, lack of confidence, can you stay tight with that foundation you're trying to build? Because to me, that's the key for the next four games before Christmas. Is if it looks like it's looked the last couple games and they get a couple of breaks and they finish some plays, I think they can have a successful stretch here.
Predators and Rangers tonight at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport in for Jared Stillman today. Coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a wonderful, safe, and blessed Tuesday. Peace. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.